This morning I'm going to be talking about, and tonight will be the second part of it, we're going to be talking about man and the image of God. And we're going to look at what that means in regard to us today. If you would go to Genesis chapter 1 that was read a while ago, we're going to begin there. Man in the image of God. What did he mean when we're created in the image of God? What was God driving after? In Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, we read, "Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. The swarms, the birds, the sea monsters, everything in the sea. But I want you to notice one phrase there in verse 21. After their kind. If you'll come on down to verse 24, we'll look at the land. And he said, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. The beasts that roamed on the dry ground. One key word or phrase, after their kind. Then we come down to verse 26. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Male and female were created in the image of God. Everything else was created after its own kind. And so, just a quick side note, it's free, okay? That dethrones evolution. Man did not evolve out of some living organism that climbed up on the land and began to walk upright. No, everything was created after its kind except man. Man was created after the image of God. Nothing else on earth was created in that way. And so, because man being created in the image of God, God expects more of man than He does all the rest of creation. Come over to chapter 2 real quick. Look at verse 19. "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name." All the beasts, all the birds, guess what they were created out of? The ground. But when we read verse 7 of chapter 2, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Man too was formed out of dust, except the difference. God breathed into man his breath, and it was a breath of life. And that breath of life being breathed into man is what created man a living being. That word being, that Hebrew word is soul. You see, man is the only one that was created in the image of God. God has a soul. And within that soul of God, within the soul of man, within man's being that came to life, there was something that happened. Man now could make choices. Man can make decisions. Man can make moral decisions because we are a living soul. And we can decide things. If you notice when we read verse 19 here of chapter 2, God brought the animals to man and let man name them. Isn't it amazing the animal names we've got today? They came from Adam. And you look at what man named. See, man could choose, this is what that would be, this is what that would be. Man could make choices. Man decided because man is the only one that's made in the image of God. You and I have the capacity. Man has the capabilities of making choices, making moral decisions, choosing between right and wrong. Animals don't have that. They have things we call instinct. And that's all they know to live by. Oh, but not man. Let's make man in our image. You're a living soul. The breath of God was breathed into us. And now we can determine what is right and what is wrong. We have those choices. And you know what God deals with the very first thing of the man that He created in their image? Male and female? Their choice of right and wrong. That's the first thing God deals with. When we get over to chapter 3, and you know, we're not going to read all of it, but we know the devil comes in the form of a serpent. He questions Eve about what God had commanded. Don't touch that tree in the middle of the garden, the knowledge of good and evil. Don't you touch it. Don't you eat it. That day you're going to die if you do that. Well, the devil questions Eve. Did God really say that and mean that? Well, he ended up and points out a couple of things. But I want you to come down to chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Ah, the devil called attention to stir the thinking process of man. We're made in the image of God. You can choose right and wrong. And now he calls her attention to it. And in her decision making, it was a delight to the eyes. It was desirable. And it was good for food. All of these thought processes she began to do in her mind as she looked at the tree. She heard what God said. But now she's making a decision. She is capable of choosing right and wrong. Nothing else in the creation is able to do that. And so, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They were always naked. This wasn't a new thing. Something changed in man. And now that they know that they're naked, you know what happened? The decision that man made lost innocence. And when you lose innocence, you lose other things of goodness within you. And it always happens that way. Take children. Oh, I love to watch children. I know you do too. Oh, little children, they run around the house naked. They're laughing and doing all their things. They don't think anything of it. They're innocent. It's nothing shameful. And we see them running through and, you know. And then we see our children. Oh, they love Jesus. They love God. They love to read Bible stories. They love to pray. And we would sit down with them at night and we have prayers with them. And then all of a sudden, one day, Our children don't want to read Bible anymore. Our children don't want to pray. Our children know when they're naked and it's not good. What changed them? What changes children from innocence to staying away from God? A desire for God. One thing. They make a decision sometime in their life to do wrong, and when you do wrong, you make a choice, it affects your being. And innocent things get lost, and things become corrupted. And we see it around us all the time. Oh, I hate seeing my children grow up. I wanted to see them grow up, but I just hated to see that part, because I know something's going to be lost. I see it in my grandchildren. Something is going to be lost. And they're headed to that. And I know that. And you've seen it in yours as well. Man's made in the image of God. And you can make choices. You can make good choices. You can make bad choices. But whatever choice you make, an evil steps in. Things are going to get worse in your world. I guarantee you. Because that's who we are. Well, that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They're naked and they know it. Verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Not only did everything change within Adam and Eve, but everything changed with God. Oh, we were afraid. They hadn't been afraid up to now. We're guilty. We were afraid. We hid ourselves, he says, among the trees of the garden. That's what we're doing. A living soul. A God-conscious soul. Being. Is now trying to find out how to stay away from his Creator, from his God that made everything so good, so very good for man. And you know what? Hiding. Knowing that they're wrong. This is the makeup of mankind even to this day. You don't need a degree to figure all this out. It happens to every man and woman that's on the face of the earth. That they're running from God. They don't want to be in the presence of God. Let's turn it to the church. Why is it that some people, they don't want to be at a service to worship God? Why do they want to stay away? What drives people to avoid worship to God? Only one thing. There's only one thing. They've made some choices in their lives, and they're aware, they're God-conscious aware of the choices they've made, and that's where they don't want to choose to be. They did it one time. Here they were baptized into Christ, and they were thrilled to be in Jesus, and now all of a sudden, there's no thrill left. Choices have been made. And they back off. You ever wonder why some people don't want to be around death? They won't be at a funeral. Oh, no. Funeral is just really works on them and creeps them out. And, oh, they just... You know why? Because death is a reminder that you're going to face God. You're going somewhere. And so from the choices you make, you've got this conscious awareness. You and God aren't on the same page. So you start avoiding things like this. Oh, have you ever heard people that say, "It's no use for me to pray anymore. I don't feel like praying because I know God doesn't hear my prayers." What are they saying? They're conscious enough that they know they've made decisions that God doesn't approve of. We are created beings. We have souls in the likeness of God, and we know. And so when you know you're in sin, the last thing you want to do is talk to a holy God. And so we hide ourselves. And everything in life gets kind of turned upside down. And it affects the very fiber of who we are, the image of God, created souls. And they're doing it too. This is where it started. Well, look at verse 12. The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." What do you see happening? We're blaming others for my failure. Don't we see that today? I see it all the time. How people get caught over here in sin, they're away from God, and they blame people for their problems. And it's never people. Oh, people may set you up and get you to a situation and a circumstance to make it easier to sin. People may do that, but the ultimate choice is yours. You choose. And here Adam turns, and it starts with God. You gave the woman to me. Hey, you remember, you made me go to sleep. You took a rib. You formed this woman. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's your fault. And she's the one that gave me an A. It begins to blame other people. Let me tell you something, church, what happens when you blame somebody for your failure. You begin to confuse the truth. In your mind, you can no longer see truth for what it is. You confuse it when you blame other people. And you bring all these other circumstances and all these other things into it. And now, you know what? You got to live with it. And your life is taking a downward spiral because you're confusing the truth. Now, he does his blame job. But notice where he turns to next in verse 13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Yeah, let's just keep passing the buck. Husband does it. Wife does it. Living souls choosing their own ways and not even aware of what they're doing. The serpent deceived me. You know where they put God? God is eternal. God's the creator. And God makes choices. And now he's about to make a choice for man because of the decisions that they have made. And God will make a moral choice, but his choice will be based on righteousness and his love. That's what he's going to do in this whole concept. And when God makes a choice, he will render a verdict. You and I need to know that. Look at verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and the dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." Here's the choice. Whatever the serpent was, became cursed. And then he tells the devil, "I'm making a decision, and it's not going to be based on anyone's corruption. It's not going to be based on any deceit. It's going to be based on righteousness and my love. And that I will put enmity between you and the woman. And he's going to crush your head. And about all you're going to do is just bite him on the heel." There's the first mention of Jesus. God had all of this plan. Why would God go through all of this knowing that God made man in His image and the choices that man makes are going to be so wrong and corrupt? Why would God even go to all of this? Because God wanted man in His image so He could fellowship you and me. That's all He wanted. And this whole thing got corrupted. The devil brought it in. People made choices. And now that they made choices, God said, here's the first choice I make. I'm going to give My Son, and He's going to crush the head of Satan. Paraphrased it for you. But then He's got to make a decision about the woman and the man. Look at verse 16. To the woman He said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, and pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. The consequences of wrong moral choices. Pain in childbirth. Is it still happening today? Ladies, you remember? That's what brought pain and childbirth on as a reminder for every woman on the face of the earth. You make wrong moral choices. You make wrong decisions in your life. You blame other people, and now consequences come with all of that. And here they are. I'm going to greatly multiply your pain and childbirth. And not only that, this is why wives will be in subjection to their husbands. And that's what put it in order. You see, God's got to make choices. And we're still suffering to it today. Listen, brethren, sin always brings consequences, and don't you think they don't? There always are consequences to sin. And it's no one's fault but you and me, because I choose to make a decision not based on God. Well, verse 17. Then to Adam He said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Now let's stop right there. God made His voice very clear to Adam not to eat. God didn't mince any words. And Adam, you made a choice to listen to your wife when she took of the fruit and she gave it to you. Adam had a choice. He did not have to go along with that. Adam could have told his wife Eve, no, no. God said no. No, he didn't do that. He went right along with her. And so because she did this and he did this, now God has got to render a verdict. There are consequences. And if you notice, He calls each one of them into account individually. Oh, there's no blame being spread around here. She didn't make you do it. He didn't make you do it. You made a moral decision. You're created in the image of God. You and I can make moral decisions. The middle of verse 17. Cursed is the ground because of you. And toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Man's moral decision has now cursed the earth. And God made a decision. You're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow in order to make a living. That's the way it is. You're going to work hard. And you're going to have to till that ground. And today, even though there may not be a lot of farmers among us, today, guess what? We have to depend on the sweat in the farming communities for you and I to eat. And that's the way God put it. And you know how long you're going to work by the sweat of your brow? Till you return to dust. Let me throw this on the side real quick. Physically, bodily, here. How great are we? We're dust. That's how great we are. And you know what everybody's going after? We got to keep the youth look. You know, let's stretch this. Let's get this off. Let's get rid of the gray. We got to be strong. You know what moral choice we make? We make the moral choice to make our body strong. The very part of us that's going to dust. And yet we choose to let the soul be nourished and cherished. Yeah. That's how our thinking gets off. That's how far we get off base. That's why Paul told Timothy, bodily discipline is of little profit. He didn't say profitless. Very little profit. But you know what? Godliness is profitable for all things, he said, because it'll take you to eternity. Yeah, see, we sometimes get it backwards. And then we want to know why in our minds, our consciences, we want to know why within our beings of our low self-esteem and the things that we do. You know, we're making choices that are not real good. Cursed is the ground cause of you. You're going to work from it and you were taken from dust and to dust you're returning. But you know what? This isn't the greatest loss of all. No. There was still one more thing man's going to lose because they were created in the image of God. We are the greatest loss, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like us, one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Guess what was still in that garden? The tree of life. Where you could live forever. And man could go over and take it. And God knows, you made a choice. There are consequences to choices. We got to do something about this one. We're not going to let man take the tree of life now. Oh, it was there for the taking from the beginning. No more. No. Verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way through the tree of life. The greatest loss, life of God, eternity. It was taken away. And God placed one of his cherubim at the entrance to protect the holiness. He put a flaming sword that turns every direction. No one's sneaking back into this one. It's over. And it all is because of one thing. Man made in the likeness of God, in the image of God, man made choices. And as a result of choices, there are consequences. There are things that happen consciously between man and God. And the ultimate was man is driven out of the garden. And there is no more opportunity for tree life, fellowship with God at that point. And we know Scripture. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is, you can tell me, death. Yeah, separation from God. And we know all of sin falls short of the glory of God. Every time you make a choice to sin, it drives you further from God. And then when you get further from God, your conscience can get so seared that you don't even think in terms of God anymore. And then you're doomed. And man keeps making these choices. And man keeps spiraling their lives out of control. And man comes up and they say, I'm so confused. I don't know what's right anymore. I don't know what's wrong. Where do you think all of that comes from? It's not coming from God. It's coming from choices that we make. Moral choices of what is right. And doing what is right. And doing what is wrong. And when you do wrong, you don't do anything about it. You just start playing the blame game. And it's pushing you further. And that's why today we've got all these lives messed up. No one understands what it means to be made in the image of God. And God said, I'm going to make a moral choice. And it'll be based on my righteousness and my love. His name is Jesus. And I'm going to let my son die. And he's going to pay for your debt. Now you've got a choice to make. Another one. A moral dilemma, and that is this. Will you choose my son to pay your debt? And if you do, that's my free gift to you. And he says in Romans 6:23, the second half of it, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The way back to the tree of life is found through this man, Jesus. You make a choice. Do I choose to love Him? Put faith in Him and go that direction? Why do people back off? They make another choice. And it doesn't end up well for them. And isn't it good that every choice God makes is based on His righteousness and His love? Isn't that good for you and I? The only question is, what do we choose to do with it? What do we choose to do with Him? You know, if you find yourself in a state of confusion, you need to understand why. If you want a way out, God's put a choice out there and said, here He is. Here He is. Here's my choice for you. Will you choose the same thing? And let it be Jesus. Let it be Jesus. And He'll clear the mind. He'll clear the path. And He'll make sure you feast with Him. Never to be afraid again. Never to have to hide in darkness. Never to have to question things or blame others. You can walk with Jesus all the way to eternity. And created in the image of God, that's your choice and not His. May God bless you. May He keep us. May we realize the seriousness of decisions we make in our lives.